Praise God. I want you to get ready for the word today. And there's a couple of passages I know will bless your heart today in the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 6 and 7. It reads, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Verse number 7. "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." So I want to preach today from the sermonic title, A Call to Prayer. A Call to Prayer. I believe that you will agree that we are living in times where prayer is essential. In short, these are praying times. A few days ago, we witnessed the violence and the bloodshed and the lives lost there in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. And as a people of faith, we have an obligation to pray. The Bible says we ought to pray in season and out of season. I stopped by this morning to issue a call to prayer. Well, what is prayer? It really is talking to God, but it's also listening to God. It's communication of the human soul. And prayer is the primary way that we as believers in Jesus Christ can communicate both our emotions and our desires, deep-seated. And we can say when we pray that we're praying to someone who has the authority to make the difference. Now listen, prayer can be audible, silent, private, public, formal, or informal. Now, in our text this morning, Jesus is conducting a mountainside Bible study. I love the way Jesus would be out with the crowds, and all of a sudden he would say, "Time out." He took his disciples to a high place, and there he conducted, really, a Bible study. Beginning back in chapter 5, we hear what we commonly call the Sermon on the Mount. By the time we get to the 6th chapter, he's giving some advice about the importance of sharing with the needy and to do so without fanfare. Look around our society today. You have passed by a location, you will find the lines along, people are struggling. But even then, Jesus talked about the importance of giving, but not broadcasting it. I could stop right there. Just do it in the spirit of Christ. Amen. And when it comes to prayer, I believe, first of all, that we learn that prayer first is expected. Prayer is experienced and prayer is effective. Yeah. Now, verse number 6 says, "But when you pray," when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, it tells me that Jesus expected his disciples to pray. I mean, you don't follow me and you don't not pray. And as believers in Jesus Christ, it is our calling to pray. I think that's so important. And it's a matter of when we pray. Praise God. You know, I had the blessing of visiting other countries, and the dominant faith in those countries, we would get a reminder. I remember being in Greece and in Turkey. And early in the morning, I hear this siren going off. And I figure out what in the world is going on. Now, by noon, I got it because it went off again. And again in the evening, and persons would stop what they were doing and bow and pray. Now, I would say that as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a reminder by way of the Holy Spirit. You ought to hear the Spirit leading you to pray wherever you are. I love the song that says, "Whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening. It will keep your heart in tune." What would happen if we prayed more in our homes? What would happen if we prayed more in our communities, in our churches, if we but answered the call to pray? I love Richard Foster. He's the Quaker theologian who wrote the book Celebration of Discipline. And he talks about flash prayers. "Well, Reverend, I don't have time. I'm on the move." You would be amazed the effectiveness of a flash prayer. I told the story some years ago. I was at a major event in Baltimore, and they had me on assignment on a Saturday. First of all, that was a challenge. As I went to this event, it's a big horse racing event, I began to use this method of flash prayer. I would see people, look at them, fix my eyes on them, and would whisper a prayer. Well, you know, by the end of the day, that drink they had didn't taste too well. I tried it out. Try out a flash prayer in traffic. Turn to the person and say, wait a minute, and give a flash prayer. But Jesus was the example of what it meant to pray. Mark 1:35, he says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, I get in trouble for getting up so early. I'm like Jesus in that way. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Amen. One instance, the disciples came and said, Jesus, the people are waiting on you. Jesus knew his obligation was to pray, and for him, when to pray was early in the morning. Not only is prayer expected, but prayer is also experienced. Amen? Amen. There in that same sixth verse, it says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, this is the where we ought to pray. Where can you experience prayer? Jesus gave us a suggestion. He says, you know what? Go into your room. Now, during that time in first century, it didn't mean a literal room, but they were talking about places that were chambers. There were closets, places where things that were important were stored. But go into your room. I declare today that you could go into a literal closet. Some of y'all have closets that you've turned into prayer areas. I know that the bathroom is the number one place to pray. Oh, I know. I know. Every now and then you have to stop and pray. It may be in your automobile. It may be during a walk. You know, Susanna Wesley, she was the mother of John Wesley and Charles Wesley, two of those brothers who did much for the Methodist movement, wrote many songs and hymns that have blessed our hearts over the years. She had 10 or more children, and she needed time to pray. She had said to God, I want to give 2 hours of prayer. So the word goes that she told her children, listen, I'm going to pray. So when I pull my apron over my head, that means don't bother me. Amen? Amen. It's important that whatever it takes, find a place to pray unto the Father, and that becomes your secret place. Psalm 91:1, David talks about this. He that dwelleth in the secret place. It's secret because you've made it secret. That means I don't need to know where you're praying or what you're praying. It's your secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? That becomes so important, is experiencing prayer. And you know that when you begin to pray and think about how good God has been in your life, it's an experience. Amen? Something like you've never experienced before. Prayer is experienced. It is expected, but it's also effective. Then your Father who sees the unseen, your Father who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And the King James Version says, will reward you openly. In other words, what you've done on your knees will come out in the open. Folks say, well, I wonder what's going on. I've been doing some neology, amen? I've been spending time with the Lord. But, you know, why should we pray? Because prayer is effective. There are results. You've got a history with prayer. But check this out. Somebody is praying for you. Now, it's not because of your prayer all the time, but somebody is praying for you. They had you on their mind. They took the time to pray for you. I love telling this story, how my mother used to have me as the prayer meeting pickup person. I was a teenager. I was like, Lord, I got to do this again. But I would pick up them sisters and brothers. We have no seat belts, put them in that Impala, drive them to the Springfield Church, and they would have a prayer meeting. And I just believe that when I left and went to college, they didn't have Timmy to pick them up anymore. But I do believe they were praying for me. Oh, come on, some of y'all know that first year of college was a crazy year. But thank God for Jesus, they were praying for me. Amen. I just want to go back to that gospel of Matthew 6:7, because Jesus addresses this whole sense about being effective. He says, and when you pray, do not. Don't brag about it. Keep on babbling like pagans who want to be seen. You know, now he's not against public prayer. He says, don't be a big show off. for they think they will be heard because of their many words. My God, all you have sometimes is, Lord, help me. Amen. Lord, thank you. Lord, I need you. That's a prayer Amen. To the glory of God. Yes, and those disciples says, Master, teach us how to pray. And they began with our Father. That's a great place to start. Amen. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He prayed there at a tough moment. He prayed on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus prayed. And the Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father, even now making intercession for the saints. Yeah. I'm so glad about that today that, yeah, you can pray for me, but I'm glad that Jesus knows about all of my struggles. Yeah. Amen. And so that way, even though you may not understand, he knows what I'm going through. I love what the old saints say. Jesus is sitting at the right hand saying, now, Father, I know what they're going through because they talked about me. Yeah. I know what they're going through. They stabbed me in the back. And so he's at the right hand interceding for us. Yeah. Back in 2013, 3-year-old Grayson Clamp from Charlotte received the auditory brain stem implant. It was a very rare procedure. He'd been born with a condition where he could not hear. But the day the implant was turned on, for the first time, he was able to hear his father's voice. His father was excited. He says he looked deep in his son's eyes and realized he's hearing my voice for the first time. God desires that we would hear his voice. I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. To the cross where thou hast died, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. You know, I talked about this week, but our world has been taking sides. Oh, yeah. We take sides. And my prayer is that we would be on the same side and on the right side. And that's at the side of Jesus. I thank God today that I'm on the right side. I'm on the side that's going to win. Amen. Each and every day I get up in the morning, I say my prayers, and I thank God that during the midst of the day, I feel the Lord moving on. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, why do you pray when you feel the Spirit? Oh, hallelujah. That becomes so important today. I come by in your neighborhood with a call to pray. Well, roll down your window. Hey, let's pray to Jesus. Right. It's so important, but you got to start your day with prayer. Amen. A call to prayer. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That is the word of God today. Yeah. It's already blessed. Amen. You know, there's a call going out, but will you answer the call? Some of us now, we have call waiting. And so we don't want to answer the call. We'll just let it ring. Oh, it's a spam call. I won't answer that. But the Lord Jesus Christ today is calling you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, there's a call on line one for you. Amen. It's from the one who was raised from the dead. It's from the one who is praying for you today. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we come today and we hear the call. Not for extra conversation, but to have a little talk with you. Father, I pray even now for those who are watching or listening to this broadcast, that they may open their ears and their hearts and receive the call. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Today, save someone. It's obvious our world needs healing, but it needs a Savior. We ask it all now in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, nothing like prayer that makes a difference.